Our Tanzanian friends, will you come to the front, please? Ben, will you come to the front? Null and then Lazarus, come to the front, please. Amos, Notri, Nicodemus, Ben. Come stand up here. These are our dear friends that have come all the way from Tanzania and Uganda. They're going to just quickly tell us their names, and then they're going to just, the Nicodemus is going to give a testimony quickly about Bagamoyo. And then they're going to sing a song in Swahili for us. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Lazarus. I'm from Bagamoyo, Tanzania. Thanks for having me. Hello, Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen. I bring love from Uganda. I'm Ben Tumwebaze. That name Tumwebaze means thanks to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Morning, everybody. My name is Amos Makabana. I'm from Tanzania. I'm with these guys. Amen. Thank you to have you guys.
Good morning. My name is Nodi Freisanga. From Tanzania, the southern part of Tanzania, the city of Njombe. Be blessed.
In Swahili, to say welcome, we say karibu. Yeah. Say karibu. Ibo.
Asante. My name is Nicodemus from Tanzania. I'm going to speak in Swahili, please.
Okay, sorry, we have this brother, Nicodemus. He's the one staying in Bagamoyo. I'm not staying there, but I can translate for his testimony. I'm not good in English, but I'll try. So, yes, he has his testimony. Mark, I think yeah. You talked with Nicodemus. You know, our language is Swahili, so we don't speak English. We get it in school. So, sorry, you have to, yeah.
Amen.
Can you help? Okay.
Tunamshukuru Mungu kwa hapa.
We thank God.
Na tunaona ni muujiza.
It's just a miracle to be here.
Na Mungu yuko mahali hapa.
And God is here.
Roho Mtakatifu tumeona kitembea katikati yetu.
We've seen the Holy Spirit moving around here.
Oh, tunamshukuru Mungu pia kwa ajili ya mtumishi wa Mungu Michael.
We thank you for the Mark
na mke wake
and his wife
pamoja na kanisa lote.
And all the members in the church.
Mungu awabariki sana
kutoka. God bless you.
Kuwa na ushuhuda mfupi kwa ajili ya kuhusu Bagamoyo.
As a short testimony about Bagamoyo.
Bagamoyo iko Tanzania.
Bagamoyo is in Tanzania.
Afrika Mashariki.
It's in East Africa.
Bagamoyo ni mahali ambapo ni pa miujiza.
Bagamoyo is a place of miracle.
Kwa sababu ni mahali ambapo Ukristo ulianza.
It's a place whereby Christian started. Christianity started.
Miaka 800 iliyopita.
It's more than 800 years.
Dr. Livingstone alifika pale Bagamoyo.
The first time Dr. Livingstone went the press.
Na alipenda sana Africa.
And he loved Africa.
Na alipenda Africa ije kwa Yesu.
And he loved all Africans to come into kingdom.
Hata kabla ya kufa kwake alisema maneno kadhaa.
And also before his death, he said something very important.
Kama atakufa Afrika,
and when he is going to die in Africa,
moyo wake utabaki Afrika.
His heart will remain in Africa.
Na mwili wake utapelekwa Ulaya.
His body will be transferred to his place.
Na kweli alipokufa walipasua mwili wake.
It's true, when he died, they operated and removed his heart.
Moyo wake ukazikwa Zambia.
They buried his heart in Zambia.
Kwa hiyo moyo wake paka leo tunapozungumza huko Afrika.
Until this time as we are standing here, his heart was buried in Zambia, that is part of Africa.
Mwili wake ulichukuliwa kutoka Zambia ukuletwa Bagamoyo.
So they transferred his body to Bagamoyo.
Mahali ambapo alianzia huduma.
Where he started his ministry.
Na kuanzia pale mwili wake ulichukuliwa kupelekwa sasa Ulaya.
They kept it for a short time, then transferred to Zanzibar, I think, and then transferred to his own place. That's Europe.
Kwa hiyo Bagamoyo ni eneo ambalo limechanganya Ukristo ulianzia pale lakini pia kuna Uislamu.
Yes, Christian started there by David Livingstone, but still Muslim is so dominant in that place.
Na tunamshukuru Mungu anatupigania na kanisa liko pale linaendelea vizuri.
We thank God because he's still working through us and the church is just moving on.
Na tunawakaribisha sana Bagamoyo.
Welcome you all in Bagamoyo.
Okay, sing a quick song in Swahili. Just want to say, David Livingstone went, and they are the fruit of David Livingstone. How many hundreds of years later, hey? We don't know what we do into the generations. We might have one soul, but God has a future. Amen. Okay, sing in Swahili first.
The song we're going to sing is meaning that our Father God have glory. Our Father God have glory. Ebaba, ebaba, pokea, sifa. Say ebaba.
Ebaba.
Pokea.
Pokea.
Sifa.
Sifa.
That's all.
Let's sing. Ebaba, 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 pokea sifa.
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 Say, ebaba, ebaba, ebaba. Let's together. Ebaba. Ebaba, ebaba, pokea sifa.
Yes. Okay. Ebaba, 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 pokea sifa.
Ebaba, 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 pokea sifa.
Ebaba, 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 pokea sifa.
Ebaba,
ebaba, ebaba, pokea sifa.
Mungu awabariki.
All these God men are pastors. They're down here for the time with Tyron and his team and to be inspired to go and take Jesus back in his fullness. So yeah, pray for them. They've made great sacrifices to be here, and it's such a privilege to have you with us here this morning. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lazarus. Well, no further ado, we want to invite Eddie Backett to the front here. And I don't know if you know Eddie. Eddie's originally from South Africa. He's of the same league as I was. We both trained as an accountant. But God called him into the ministry. I know he's going to give you the testimony of that and took him to Europe. And God has made him thrive in that context and have a testimony of Jesus. And we have a privilege today to have Eddie with us. His wife, unfortunately, couldn't be with us, but that's God's plan. But we just really just trust Eddie that as you come forward today, that you would just share God's word and be free. You know, we want to hear what God has said to you and he wants to say to us. Thank you, Eddie.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Yeah, I was born in South Africa in Krugersdorp from Dutch parents. And Unfortunately, as Mark said, my wife can't be here, but she will be here in a certain way, as you'll see at the end of the message. I just listening to my brethren. I am so thankful that I was born in Africa. You don't know what a privilege that is. I tell you, the rest of the world, many of them, they think Africa is many places third world country, but they've got no heart. Why do you think David Livingstone wanted his heart to be here? Because Africa's got heart, you know. Europe has got mind, but that's not heart. You know, I tell you, heart is what we need. It's what God is after. It's what God is after. So I want to take the African heart to Europe. That's what I trust God for to do. I just want to pray before I start. I've actually started anyway. Father, we just look to you, and Lord, we want to hear your heart this morning. Because we believe, Lord, it's not only your thoughts that you've given. You've given us your all. You love us with everything in you, Lord. You so love the world that you gave your Son. And so I pray that you make us receptive to what you want to do this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, I was born in Krugersdorp, and I had one desire when I was here and a young man. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be a millionaire before I'm 30. That was my goal. And I was qualified as a chartered accountant when I was 23. So the way was open. But then God came into my life, and I heard a message. I first of all got saved about 30, 35 years ago. I invited Jesus into my life, and that just gave me that surety of being born again and live for Him. It just a wonderful experience, which I didn't know. I mean, I went to church every Sunday, and I thought, well, then that means you're a Christian. It's like going to McDonald's week after week and thinking you're a hamburger or something, you know? But you're not. But then I heard a message about not Jesus in my life, but Jesus as my life. I saw what he did at the cross, that Jesus came to give us a totally new life, not a bettered old life. And that completely changed me, because that Eddie in me that just wanted to live for himself, that wanted to be rich at all expenses, I actually saw that he died on the cross in Jesus, and that if I continue to live that way, I would actually be denying what Jesus did for me. Now that completely changed me. So I started asking God, what do you want? What do you want with my life? And I started getting the desire to share what He's done. And so I felt Him calling me. So I gave my life. I gave up my career. I went to a mission school and continually asking God, where do you want me to go? And I kept thinking of Holland. I was there twice because my parents come from there. I was there twice when my grandparents were married for 50 years and for 55 years. We went for 6 weeks both times. But as my dad used to say, if you go to Holland for 6 weeks, it only rains twice. Once 2 weeks long and once 4 weeks long. So there was nothing in the natural to draw me there. You know, I love the beautiful weather of South Africa. I love sport. I love, but I kept thinking of Holland. So I said, Lord, is this your will? Now, I've learned in my prayer to ask God specific questions, and then you get specific answers, you know? And so I said, Lord, is it your will? And then, I don't know, one morning, a couple of months later, I read in my quiet time, and the Lord said to Jacob, stand up and go to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I'll be with you. So in 1988, I went with just a suitcase in my hand. I had three people went with me from that mission school, but with no fixed support, we didn't make our needs known, we went to Europe. Within the first 6 months, the other three people went back, but I couldn't. Because the call was too strong in my heart, and it wasn't easy. I must say, oftentimes I was sat in the forest and I wept, but I thought of these words. He said, "Go to the land of your fathers, and I will be with you." So God led us there to start a mission school, and to my amazement, across the border from Holland, in Germany. Now I ministered a lot in Holland. There came times where I preached 30 times in 28 days, and lots of work. But we started this mission school, God sending people to us, and said, just teach them what you know. And so they came and stayed with us. They didn't have to pay for it. They gave up what everyone, some 6 months, some a year, some 2 years, some became co-workers. So over a period of 12 years, we had over 50 adults with their children staying with us on a small plot which we rented, which the Lord provided for us. Now, then we met the New Covenant and the team, and we started to see the importance of the local church. Now, in our town, our city, just across the border from Holland in Germany, Nordhorn, is a city of 55,000 people. So it's not that big. But after the Second World War, there was one Pentecostal church that in 40 years did not get 40 members. So that's just the climate in our area. And I'm sad to say even today that 50 to 100 kilometers around us in Germany, we are the only church that's growing. Now, so please pray for us. Please, if you remember this day, please pray for us and God's work there. But God has really been great to us. You know, I've always longed to do great things with God. Now, I don't know if you know the story. I'm sure many of you do, of Jonathan. Where Jonathan spoke to his armor bearer, and it says in 1 Samuel 14, verse 6, it says, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, 'Come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few.'" You know, when you go to Europe, when I went there, the people said to me, you're going to Holland, you're going to Germany. No one wants to know about God anymore. It's over. It's past, you know. But I found it to be quite different. I found you must just allow God to find lead you to the hearts of the people that are so hungry and not know where, you know. But you think, so few Christians. Can we do something? You know, can we change something? Can we change the world? You live in a country where many things have changed, where many things, it's so easy to blame the government. It's so easy to blame this guy and that guy. But I mean, I don't want to look to a worldly government, whether it be in Europe, America, or here in Africa, for the plans that God has for me. I want to look to the government of heaven. I want to look to the government of heaven and I want to say, Lord, your plans and your thoughts are different. You know, so now we you're there in Europe, you think, can we change something? And you might ask yourself, can God use my life to change my environment? Can God use us to reach the people of around you, of Modderfontein, of Edenvale, Kempton, this whole area here in Gauteng? Can God use me? Or where, maybe even other parts of the world. Yeah, Jonathan, yeah, it was no different situation. The Philistines ruled. Just him and his father had a sword. The Philistines were very clever. They stopped the guys from making weapons, and they couldn't have any iron casted. So they were very clever. And then Jonathan, you see what's wonderful about him, he says, let's go. Shall we go over to them? You know? But I'm just, this morning, as I read through it again, and I was praying about, and I was touched by this word, perhaps the Lord. Perhaps. You know, sometimes we think, if I'm full of faith, I'm going to say, I believe it. The Lord's going to do it. You know, and then it happens, or it doesn't happen. But as long as I say it, I want to claim it and frame it. You know? But Jonathan is willing to say, what we see exhibited here is true faith. He says, perhaps the Lord will work for us. So he's immediately saying, God is bigger than I. God knows the circumstances. It's not unbelief. But he says, perhaps. I might be wrong. I might be wrong. It's very teachable. It's very teachable. He says, perhaps. And then he says, come, let us go over. He's proactive. He doesn't just sit and wait, oh, I wish the Lord would do something. He says, come, let's present ourselves. You know? Let's present ourselves. So he goes afterwards, the armor bearer says, do whatever's in your heart. And he presents. He said, if they say come, then we know the Lord has given them into our hands. I love that principle. Well, I love to witness to people. You know, so in Europe, they hear my funny accent, you know, and they say, well, where do you come from? You know? And I said, well, I come from South Africa. You know, and I don't say anything more. And then if they ask, why did you come from South Africa? Then they'll know. You know? They ask me. So, you know, it's like on one of my holidays, I was in Cape Town and go up to Table Mountain with the cable cart. And as we were halfway, you know, I like to just put out a fleece. I said to the man next to me, I said, if this thing falls and goes down and drops, I'm going up. Where are you going? You know? You know? And we had a very interesting conversation after that, you know? You know, but then Jonathan also, so he says, come let us. And he says, for the Lord is able to work for us. The Lord is not restrained by many or by few. It's no problem for God that you feel weak, that you think, oh, we're just a few. It's no problem for God. You see, Jonathan isn't exhibiting great faith in God here. You know what he's exhibiting? Faith in a great God. There's a difference. You know, because the more we look, we heard it this week at the Equip, the closer we get to God, the smaller our problems become. But so he's very active. Now, when we planted that church, we planted a church 20 years ago in our area with 17 adults and 2 full-time elders with no salary. You know? And we trusted the Lord, and the Lord has been so good to us. We are now 20 years ago, and I say, you know, with the children, we're over 350 people. God has done such wonderful works. He's given us buildings. He's in miraculous ways. I wrote a whole book about my whole journey the last 20 years. You can if you want one, you can get some this morning. But God has been so good, but in small and big things. You know, when and people are very skeptical sometimes. Like, oh, God, you know, those days, maybe in the Bible, the stories, but today. And my brother was telling all these stories to friends of his. Yeah, he's still living in Krugersdorp. And so one day I go play golf with his friends. You know, and on the first tee, I borrowed a golf clubs from a bag from someone. So I took out and I got a ball. And I see I only have one golf tee. So, and you know, you hit those things, you break them. So I said to his friends, I said, you guys, listen, there's only one golf tee. Have you, some of you maybe got some tees for me? So the one guy looks at me and he chirps. He says, I thought God provides for you. And I got so upset on the inside. I really did. You know, I said, yes, he does. You know, and I thought, I'm going to show you how a Christian hits this ball. I'm going to tell you. And I thought, I'm going to hit this ball. It's a par 4. It's a lot. I'm going to hit that thing straight on the green or something, you know. So I go and I hit that ball, you know, and the ball goes down the fairway and takes a left. Shoo. And it goes off into the bushes there, you know. And I mean, you know the scripture which says mountains fall on us. That's what I thought, oh my goodness, you know. So I get into the golf car with this guy who said that. And we go look for my ball. And underneath the tree, we find my ball. What do you think lies within 1 meter of my ball? A sealed packet full of golf tees. You know, even today I get the shivers down my spine when in my book I've got QR codes with your phone, you can, and there's an interview with this man who started going to church after that. God is not restrained by few or by many. We serve a great, great God. But now I want to ask you this morning, how can you be sure? How can you and I ensure that we can live a life of faith where God does great things to us in all circumstances of life? How can you ensure that? Because I believe this is not for special persons. This is that life is for every one of us. You know, Galatians 5 verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. I think we underestimated when Jesus said, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? Someone came to him, Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he'd answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? What's the most important thing?
Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there's no one else beside him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." In Matthew 22, the same story, and verse 40, it even says, "On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." So this morning, my title and my question to you is, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? I even considered singing it, but then I thought that would be the end of the message. So I thought, you remember that from the Bee Gees? How deep is your love? No. Why? Why is this the most important? Why is this the question that it's all about? Why? Now, first of all, this was the very purpose of creation. The very purpose is a love relationship. God created man in his image and his likeness because God wanted a love relationship. When God created Adam and he made him in his image and his likeness, you know what God said about Adam? It's not good for Adam to be alone. But he was like God. You see, God who's perfect, who lacks nothing. But God is love. And love only comes to its fullness, excuse me, when you can give it. And that's why God wanted, and because God is so big, God wants it to be consist of many, many, many people so that together we might experience the height, the depth, the breadth, and of the love of God. So God created man for a love relationship. But there are two conditions for a love relationship. The first is you have to be of the same kind. That's why God made Adam in his image. You know, we've got an excellent dog at home. His name is Leopold. What a great dog. He only barks when someone comes. He goes and he opens the door if he knows you. Jumps on the handle. If he doesn't know you, he doesn't open the door. I mean, and this is such, you can do all sorts. They're a very clever dog. But you know, so that's a relationship, but it has its limits. Because if I feel sad, I mean, I can look at him and say, "Leopold, you know, man, I'm not happy today, man." He just looks at me, you know. And he's actually just waiting for one word. Walkies? 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 Come to think of it, my wife sometimes looks at me and says, "IKEA? IKEA? Do you know IKEA? It's a huge shopping thing." Anyway, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Okay. Okay. So you got to be of the same kind. The second is out of free will. You have to be to choose for each other or a real love relationship out of free will. Because if you cannot say no, your yes doesn't mean anything. Out of free will. That's why also the Bible says, Galatians 5 verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set you free." God wants you to be so free that you can choose against him if you want to. Because so much more it then means when you give yourself to him. And so much more, you can determine the extent you give yourself. How deep is your love? You see, our salvation starts when we give our lives to Jesus. You discover what he's done for us. So you say yes to him, and God gives you a new heart, and you're born again. So that kind, because the moment man sinned, he became unfit to be in a relationship with God. No sin can come in God's presence. So Jesus dies on the cross to take the sin away, and gives us a new life, but it's only born. You become a child of God. It's small. Now, in order to have more of God, you allow him to change you, to become more like him, to become more in the image and likeness of Jesus. You grow into it. And you know, God uses all circumstances to achieve that. Because the extent you become like Jesus in this life where you can change will be what you will be like in eternity where you will never change again. So you can see how important that is. You know? And just imagine what God had prepared for us. But this is something we can grow in. That's why it's important to say, Lord, I believe you let all things work together for the good for those who love you. But the next verse says, doesn't stop, it says, whom he's predestined to become into the image of his son. But just think of this wonderful, wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. It says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? You see, the wonderful thing about it is this. We can also grow in our love for the Lord. In John 21, I'm not going to go there just to save time, but Jesus asked Peter three times. Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Look after my lambs. Do you love me? You know, and it's someone has so wonderfully explained. You know why he asked him that? Why did he ask him three times? Because Peter denied Jesus three times. When he called him, he said, go call Peter and the disciples. Spiritually, Peter had actually placed himself no longer a disciple. Yes, a child of God, but by denying Jesus. And Jesus was restoring him. Do you love me? Now what if Jesus would ask to you and me this morning, Eddie, do you love me? How deep is your love for me? What would you answer? What would I answer this morning? Sometimes men think, you know, the husband thinks, I'll get married, and after a couple of years, 20 years, maybe you say, the wife says, well, do you still love me? I said, well, remember, I told you 20 years ago, you know, and if it changes, I'll let you know. But they expect their woman and their wives to know they love them, but they know, they want to hear it. They want to see us and us to tell them, just like we want God. Now, there's different levels of love. Now, I want to look at some levels of love of how people went about with David. And David was a man after God's heart. But I'm going to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 21. Sorry. First Samuel 16 and verse 21. It says, then David came to Saul and attended him. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul loved David. You know what type of love that is? It's fake. We hear so much about fake news today. That's unreal love. It's not genuine. It's hypocrisy. It's a moment, it's in a word. Oh yes, I love the Lord. But there's no reality of that. He actually, not too long after that, wanted to kill David. Yet, in his mouth, his words were love. Then we come to 1 Samuel 18 and verse 5. We see the soldiers and the servants of Saul. It says, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So they were happy. They loved this. Why did they love David? Because he was prospering them. See, it's a kind of love, as long as God is good to me, I'll love him. But the moment things get difficult, the moment I'm not feeling I'm getting any benefit from him, very quickly the temperature of my love drops, of my devotion, of my following after him. Because I think, I'm coming, I want to benefit from this. Sometimes we do this in our own relationships. We only love people when we benefit from them. It's a very selfish love. Then we see, what happened with these same soldiers. I mean, in 19 verse 1, it says, Saul told Jonathan, his son, and all his servants to put David to death. But Jonathan, reacted against it. Not a single one of the other soldiers protested. No one. You can see just how deep that love was. Jonathan was the only one that reacted. Then in 1 Samuel 18, verse 16, it says, but all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. You see, the people were so happy that, David is our hero. He's our great man. You know, it's like one of the rugby players or whatever. If they do well, you know, they're the hero of the nation. But, oh boy, if they drop the ball or take it behind the goal and make stupid mistakes, then they probably get hated. But you know what kind of love that is? It's love from a distance. It's just love from a distance. There's no intimacy in it. How do you love God? How deep is your love? Now we come to verse 20 of 1 Samuel 18, and it's about Michal, Saul's daughter. It says, Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And when they told Saul, the thing was agreeable to him. Now we're coming more to a place where it's a personal relationship. She was the daughter. David married her. And so there was intimacy. There's a relationship that started. This is more the type of love that we're looking for. But yet we see also her love had its limits. Because later on, when David brought back the ark and was dancing in front of the whole people, she looked from a window, and it says in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 16, it says, then it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. You know, suddenly she was ashamed. It's a sort of a love. Okay, I'll have a relationship with Jesus, but as long as it's not too radical, as long as you don't want me dancing or jumping or everyone shouting, "I love Jesus," no one must see that. As you know, it's like a more personal matter and not too radical. How deep is your love? You know, and then being ashamed. Okay, I'm a Christian. I've got a personal relationship. I've got some intimacy with the Lord, but especially on Sundays. On Mondays, it's a different story. You see, what we live is what we really believe. All the rest is just religious talk. And it's a sad thing to realize, brethren and friends, that these things have practical outworking in our lives. These things, these are the reasons why we lack power. These are the reasons why so often we stay in the dark and we don't understand things. It says that Michal remained unfruitful till the day, barren, till the day of her death. She was ashamed of her husband and his love for the Lord. It says in Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And Luke 12 verse 8 and 9 says, and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. See, what happens is when we love, but it's a private thing, and then we're ashamed, then God won't say to his father, Jesus won't say to his father, let's support this daughter of ours. Let's support her. Look, they're not ashamed of me. Let's support them. Father, let's encourage them. And angels, listen, hear that. They confess my name before men. In there, in that spiritual battle, support them. The devil is beaten by the blood of the Lamb, which means God has paid for all our sins, and by the word of our testimony. Every time we tell people, and we need to be led by the Spirit in this. You know, because there are moments where you must keep quiet, where that's a better testimony than talking. You know, but yet if, like Jonathan stepped out and said, come on, let us show us God is able. You know, and problem often, and I've had to speak to myself for a long time, especially when I was younger. We're not in this game to win arguments. We want to win souls. So we must care for the people. People are broken. People, the sin and this world have made people on the inside so heartbroken, so lonely, so desperate. Yet they're not allowed to show it, so they put up masks. People need the Lord. And how sad it is if we do not love God enough to put our own pride and our own things aside and say, I want to tell you about the one whom my soul loves. People still got lost, you know, today. And my heart is just so moved for Europe, and it doesn't have the heart of Africa. Over 250,000 cities and towns in Europe without a church. Who will tell them? Who will tell them? But then we come to Jonathan. It says 1 Samuel 18 verse 3. It says, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. This is the love I believe God is after. Covenantal love. What does it mean? A covenantal love is when two persons, and our marriages are an example of this, is when two persons, when they say to us, everything I have is yours. I hold nothing back. Everything. And your enemies are my enemies. I will fight. Two persons say to each other, from this moment, I will live for your well-being. How few marriage problems we'd have if a husband and a wife would be prepared to do that. So when it's not about myself, it's not about protecting myself or winning my argument, but say, how do I live? And you say, yeah, I'll do that, but first. You know, I'm so glad God never said that. Because if God came first as righteousness, we would all be dead. But he gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. God came. Jesus came. He says, I come. I give you covenantal love, which means I live for your well-being. And that cost me my life. That's why Jesus died, that you and I may live. That's covenantal love. And that's what Jonathan says to David. You know, I believe their friendship is such an example. If you read when Jonathan died, it says the reaction of David. It says, 2 Samuel 1 verse 26. It says, I'm distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of woman. Now, he's not saying that this is no homosexual thing or anything like that. He's actually saying the highest form of love is friendship. It's the highest. It's something I would love to achieve also with my wife. That we not just function. I didn't marry her to say, yeah, today, Lord, yes, I say yes, I accept Thea as my lawful, she'll wash my clothes, she'll iron my clothes, she'll cook for me, I accept her as my lawful housemaid type of thing. No, I didn't. I gave my life to her. I said, this day, Thea, I say no to all other women in the world. And I say yes to you. And she said that to me. Now the same with God, you know. I said, Lord, Paul says, I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. You know, when Adam and Eve were in paradise, God said, you can eat of everything, but that one tree, that tree represented living for yourself, living for your fleshly desires, living for that which is temporal. He said, if you do that, it will be the death to all this other life with me. And then they did it. And so man lives for himself, lives for his fleshly desires, lives for what he sees, what his eye sees. And then Jesus came on the cross and he raised up another tree in this world. The tree of Golgotha, of Calvary. And he says, if you choose for this tree, it means death to all the rest in the world. I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. You see, why would I want to do that? Because he did it for me. People say sometimes, they say to me, oh, Eddie, you've given up so much. You give up your... I want to say, you don't understand. What have I given up? What has Jesus given up? He gave up his eternal glory. He gave up heaven without sin, without... He gave it all up. He became a man to be cursed on, to be hit, to be crucified for me. And what have I given up? Come on. Because he says, I will die for your well-being. For God so loved you and me. The love of God. The love of God. You see, the problem is, it's difficult for us to love God because sometimes we're unsure. And I think the mechanism that needs to happen is we need to understand Romans 5, which says, Romans 5, from verse 5, it says, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So God pours out this love in our hearts. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone will dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we love him because he first loved us. And unless you realize that God loves you, it's very difficult to love him back. You know, my wife, God has given her an ability to, through music, she can sing beautifully and write songs, to write music that touches the heart and heals the soul. It happened 10 years ago, my brother phoned from South Africa. His marriage was finished, his wife gone off with someone else. And he was heartbroken. It's both sides always, it's not just one side. So I'm not condemning anyone. But he was heartbroken. And he's a more introvert, he doesn't speak. You know, he keeps it all inside. I'm going to be tough. I'm more like my mother, I just throw it out there. You know? But he phoned, she said, can he come to us in Europe? And then my wife said, yes, you're welcome. And then she put down the phone and she said, Lord, how are we going to comfort this man? And she went and she sat behind the piano. And it was like a download from heaven, and God gave her a song. Said, I know that the Lord will carry you. I know that he has got plans. A beautiful song. It's on a CD. You can hear it on the internet if you find it. But anyway, and like that, God used it. One day we walked past the road and she saw a homeless man. And she said, Eddie, that once too was a young man with dreams. And she wrote a song about that. Now, this is a song. I want to play a little part of a song that speaks about when love sees you. And she's singing it. But I want you to just close your eyes. And I want you know, we see the questions. We don't understand. We're in darkness. But God looks at us from a different perspective. And this, so in this way, I want to introduce my wife to you. Just for a moment, close your eyes and listen. Listen as she sings this, and let God minister to your heart.
I see today I fell in love with you. I see your tomorrows, nothing left to chance. I see my father's fingerprints. I see your story. I see my name written on every beautiful page. You see the struggle. You see the shame. I see the reason I came. Tell me your story. I'll show you what love sees. When love looks at you, hand me to pieces, broken and bruised. And I'll show you what love sees. When love sees.
Stopped it a bit abrupt, I'm sorry. I see the reason I came. If only we knew the love of God. You know, it's so much easier to love Him back. Sometimes our difficulties, our problems, our sins, our circumstances, our challenges shout so loud to us. I remember one afternoon, Sunday afternoon, my dad sat in the living room and my mom was there. And my dad said to my mom, he said, Ina, he said, you're so good to me. Eh? My mom was a real housewife. She gave up all her careers to look after us children, and bless her heart, she, you know. And she said, my dad said, you've been so good to me, eh? And then my mom said, ach Jan, but I've made so many mistakes. And then my dad said, Ina, you've made no mistakes. And the next day he died. Now may I be allowed to say to you, in Christ, you have made no mistake. He has paid for all of us. It's gone. God sees you. He looks you as if you and I have never sinned. He loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want your life to go waste because you give your love to other things. He doesn't want us as churches to live for ourselves. He wants us as local churches to give ourselves that men and women may be reached because He loves them. How deep is your love? How deep is my love? Let us close just for a moment. Lord, you know us. You know our hearts. Lord, so often we lose vision, we lose hope, we lose faith. Our faith doesn't work because actually, Lord, we've lost love. Our hearts have grown cold. And this day I pray, Lord, I pray that you hear our cry to you. I pray everyone, and I would encourage you to answer God for yourself, because this is a personal thing. Lord, thank you for your love which you pour out in our hearts through your Spirit. I pray that this day you will baptize everyone, as Marcus prayed, for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I believe part of this baptism is being filled with your love. And Lord, indeed, Lord, the thing is, you didn't forget to close the tap. You on purposely leave it open, that we may receive your love in overflowing, without measure. And I pray, Lord God, that the lies of the enemy be destroyed this morning, to in everyone's mind, in everyone's heart, that there will be not a single person here who will not know that you love them, that you meant them to be. And even the circumstances where the devil has tried to kill them, has tried to do them harm, that you will use even those things to the best and turn them around for the good of those who love you, Lord. The devil can do his worst, and Lord, you will turn it around. And for time and eternity, you prepare us to live in that love relationship with you. And then, Lord, from that love, you'll enable us by faith to do great works. Because you are not restrained by our weakness or by our fewness or by our smallness. You are a mighty God. And this is indeed, Lord, amazing grace, as we have sung. So I worship you and I pray for this church. I pray that your love will be poured out. I pray, Lord God, that they will give themselves to you and that you will use them mightily in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
I think that message demands a response. I don't think we can hear about the love of God and the passion of how our love can be misguided. And I don't know where you are walking at this point in time in your walk with God, but you know, the Bible says, repent from your sin and turn to God. Now, I'm not saying you're a sinner here today, but you might find that your love is weak. You have wandered from the Lord, and you're not in that place where you would like to be. And you know what? I want you to be bold enough today. Come to the front, because I'd like Eddie and the team to pray with you, because I just think there's something of that Romans 5, that God wants us to know the reality of the love of God that's been imparted to our hearts. And if you've been touched by what God has said through Eddie today, and you really mean business with God, I don't know what walk you've taken. I don't know if you've gone to the left and to the right. But God has touched your heart today, I want to ask you, please come to the front. There's no incrimination. There's no condemnation in this. Will you respond to the Lord? Yeah, if you want to just, Lord, I want to just go deeper with you. I want to grow in my love relationship with you. And not only a love relationship with you, but to tell the world about the love of God. I want to grow deeper in that. I don't know about you. So if that's you, come to the front. I'd love us to pray with you. No pressure. I'm sure there's many more. Eddie, I'd love you to pray for the folk, please. Excuse me.
You know, coming to the front is really just making your choice visible to the spiritual world. So just saying, I'm not ashamed to be counted for Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say, I want to love him more deeper.
Yes, Lord.
I want